The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Coming to you live from Atlanta, but raised on the mean streets of Philly. You'll be able to tell quickly. Just listen. It's the John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Thank you for being a part of the John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio. Tell your family, tell your friends. We love it the more time you spend with us. Did you realize the radio.com app lets you rewind also? So let's say you wake up on Sunday morning a little late for the start of the show, and that's totally understandable. All you do is rewind it through the radio.com app, and you can go back and listen. You can listen Sunday afternoon to the entire show. You can listen Sunday evening to the entire show. You can check out our podcast page, and Tony Piano puts up some of the best segments. Some weeks it's harder to find what the best segments are than others.
No, all 4 hours go up.
Wow, look at you. Coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. Rocket can. Speaking of the aforementioned Tony Piano, this week's edition of The Fallout comes your way. It's a lot easier doing The Fallout this year, Anthony, is it not?
Hey, with all these postponements every week, well, you don't have too many options.
And plus the absence of any good teams. Because I refuse to put teams in the fallout that have absolutely no chance to be there. That have no chance. So we'll get to the fallout coming up. Plus, a rare 7 o'clock Eastern time hour guest that is very rare in and of himself, Brian Baldinger. The NFL Network will join us. Love Baldy. Great, great dude. Just great people. Great to have Brian Baldinger join us around 38 minutes or so past the hour. So you get that. Let's start with this. Did you see yesterday Notre Dame in Louisville? Did you see it? Did you see North Carolina taking on Florida State? Here's what you saw. It's the old Sesame Street song. One of these things is not like the other. Tell me, can you guess which one? And they put the four squares on the TV. And there'd be like three puppies. And then there'd be a kitten. And as a little kid, you're screaming at the television, there's a kitten! There's a kitten! Well, put the top five teams in the country up. Put them up. Put that Clemson Tiger paw up there. The Crimson Tide, give them a little square. And then add Georgia. Then add Notre Dame. And then add North Carolina. Folks, there has never been a year where in mid-October, the top five has been so woefully inadequate. There have been years where the top 10 has. And there have been years where the top 15, in fact, many, many years, where the top 15 leaves you shaking your head. The teams in the teens just make no sense as being considered legit contenders. But what kind of indictment is it on college football when the top five legitimately doesn't go three deep? And after Georgia's performance last night, the top five does not go three deep in national championship contenders. Here it is. Sing along.
One of these things is not like the other.
One of these things just doesn't belong.
Can you
Tell me which thing is not like the other. Then I'll finish this song. Before I finish the song. Yeah, well, there it is. I mean, seriously, Notre Dame. Notre Dame Louisville set back Pee Wee football yesterday. And I know it's a name brand. It's a name brand. The Fighting Irish are a name brand. Do they look even in the same zip code as a Clemson or an Alabama? North Carolina. Seriously, folks. What the blank? That's a top five team? It's a major indictment. College football has a problem. The idea that there are haves and have-nots is really not legit. It's not legit anymore. I mean, how big the gap has gotten. Because the have and the have-nots in college football, the haves and the have-nots, used to be the top 12 programs in the country. Maybe top 15, there was a time. And I would tell you in the last decade, it's gotten down to being like the top 8 to 10 teams in the country, programs, and then everybody else. The problem with college football is that's shrinking. That's actually getting less and less, which is horrible for the sport. And I'm sorry, SEC. I'm sorry. You have one team that is legitimately a national championship contender on the morning of October the 18th. And when was the last time we said that? And there are going to be Georgia people that are going to be mad at me about it. They're going to be mad at me. At 855-212-4CBS. Oh, well, how can you say it's just one game? It's just one game. No, it's not. You can tell yourself it's one game all you want. It's not one game. It's a series of games. It's over and over again. It's the same message over and over again. The SEC has Alabama, and it's got everybody else. And SEC folks won't want you to hear that. Clemson, we've known it for a long time. Clemson? They're top, by the way, there's no P in Clemson. 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 I hear a lot of people doing the clemp. No mystery P there. There's no anonymous invisible P. The Clemson Tigers, we've long known, are the only team in the ACC. The only contender. The only team that legitimately could even be in the discussion of playing in a college football playoff. But it's time that SEC fans looked in the mirror and realized Alabama's there too. But then what you're going to get is this. Well, Georgia at least led them at the half. They played with them for a half. A lot of teams won't be able to do that. And you know what? That point is exactly true. A lot of teams can't hang with them for a half. But if you start beating your chest about hanging with them for a half, you hung with them till double overtime of the national championship game. And then you hung with them till the final minutes of the SEC title game. Now you hung with them till halftime. Just a heads up, that's a regression. That means 3 years ago you were closer to beating Alabama as a program than you are now. 2 years ago, you're closer to beating Alabama than you are now. And that's an indictment. That's an indictment. It's an indictment on where you are. And it's a factual statement of where Alabama is. So, I ask you again. Clemson and Alabama. And for all the jabronis in sports media who consistently bang the drum, we need a bigger college football playoff. No, we don't. No, we don't. We need an 8-team college football playoff. We need more inclusion. More teams need to be in this. What? When Notre Dame is 4, when North Carolina is 5, explain to me again why we need an 8-team college football playoff? Hell, you can't tell me the 4th team right now. Now, I am penciling in, without laying eyeballs on them playing, I'm penciling in Ohio State to one of the chairs at the table, based on pedigree alone, quarterback, and more. So I'm picturing that little table from January and saying, Clemson's there, Alabama's there. And by the way, they've got engraved invitations. They're there. They've already made hotel reservations. The third team, I'm going to pencil in Ohio State because I have to. I have to assume that another team that gets talked about is going to find a way to at least please me in some way. But who's fourth? And by the way, if you tell me Oregon, give me a break. Really? You're going to tell me Oregon without even seeing them? You'll say, well, don't count out the Pac-12. Dude, I have counted out the Pac-12 for years. And you know what? I'm not a psychic for doing that. I've counted that out for years. The sophomoric clown show of the Pac-12, which, by the way, is finally coming out from under the covers and deciding, oh, wait a minute, they can play college football. They really can. Glad to see everybody coming to the party. Big Ten country, it will be great to have you back next week. Better late than never. But we all know you're bringing one team to the dance, potentially. I haven't even seen them yet. The toll-free line is 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, and it's sponsored by Geico. You want to know what's really scary? Seeing just how much you could have been saving on car insurance if you had made the switch to Geico. It's going to keep you up at night. Switch to Geico and save. So we had more positive tests. Remember, we're back at it. Positive tests. The virus. People are testing positive for the virus. Shut down the NFL. Let's shut it down. The other day, I see the Falcons had a positive test. Shut down the facility. New England, another positive test. Shut them down. I saw NFL analysts that I really do respect saying the NFL needs to shut the season down for 2 weeks and just regroup. What? What are you talking about? I'm going to ask you, Anthony, I don't usually ask you to do research during the show because I know you're watching YouTube videos about cats or something. I don't know.
No, I'm on Bumble swiping.
You're on Bumble swiping? By the way, you got the stinger out? What are you thinking this morning? What's the crop looking like?
I have a few bees in the hive.
You do? There you go. See if you can make some honey. But the idea, can you tell me, with all the players that have tested positive in the NFL, since the NFL has reconvened and started its training camps and then regular season, can you give me like some of the names of guys that have had to been hospitalized? I'm going to save you the research, Anthony.
Zero.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you tell me the ones who ended up seriously ill?
Don't think there were any.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you starting to connect the dots, folks? A little bit? Just a little bit. Can we have a rational conversation and not a political one about this virus? There were people the other day going, the NFL just needs to shut this thing down. Shut it down. Shut it down. It's a disaster. Oh, my gosh. There are positive tests. Positive tests. We need to shut it down. Just shut it down. This is terrible. Really? Who are the NFL players that have tested positive? The coaches that have tested positive? Have we had any NFL players or coaches not be able to return to work? Not the ones that have chosen not to. Have we had serious illness? Have we had anybody? Well, you know, Kincaid, all it takes is one. No, all it takes is one. You're talking about, I am far more concerned that the NFL on any given Sunday is not spreading a virus. I'm more concerned somebody breaks their neck and ends up in a wheelchair for the rest of their life. I'm much more concerned about the head injury damages that are going to come with these high-speed collisions 20, 30 years from now as these guys enter into being senior citizens. That is far more concerning, and by the way, a far more legitimate concern. Oh, the NFL just needs to shut down. If I see Pro Football Talk spitting out the, here we go again, another team. I say it one more time. The alarm, the hysteria. If you see it one more time. No, the NFL does not have to be in a bubble. These are adults. Every day I go out to work. Not as often right now. Thanks a lot. Every day I go out to work. Every day I go to the store. Every day I assume risk. And you know what? As an adult, I assume risk. I take proper precautions. I do my best to not put anyone else at risk. But I assume risk. You know what? The NFL's risk that they've assumed in playing? I think it's doing a pretty damn good job. And despite all the hysteria, we've seen it. Positive test has not been 1 + 1 = 2. Positive tests equals death and destruction. No, not at all. What it's meant is inconvenience. Hey, today it's week 6 of the NFL on CBS. Most of you are going to see an AFC Central clash between Baker Mayfield's Browns and Big Ben's Steelers, along with other regional action. The day begins with James Brown and the guys breaking down all the hottest topics around the league on the NFL Today. It starts at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific today on CBS. The most comprehensive look at college football, in case you missed it, is The Fallout. It comes your way next. It's the John Kincaid Show. This is CBS Sports Radio.
This is the John Kincaid Show. This is The Fallout. Now on the JK Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, this is the shortest edition of The Fallout that we've ever done in the history of the John Kincaid Show here on CBS Sports Radio. Because it's just not deserved. But one team that is deserved, the Clemson Tigers, who yesterday put a beating on Jeff Collins' Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets that, honestly, I live in the county, and I know there are statutes that say that that kind of assault is unacceptable. It's unbelievable. Clemson laid it on them and laid it on them good. Here's Don Munson from Learfield IMG College.
He'll work off of that left hash again, winds out of the field right. Lynn J. Dixon, the ball game at running back. He'll fake the pitch and they'll throw it across the middle. Davis Allen at the 20, the 10, the 5, touchdown. Back-to-back games for touchdowns for Davis Allen. And Clemson extends the lead to 23-7 with 12:43 to go second quarter.
That sounded pretty bad, right? 23-7 at the time. It ended up 73-7. There were honestly chalk body outlines down at Bobby Dodd Stadium. I mean, it was ugly. Trevor Lawrence was ridiculously great, and he only had to play a half. 24 of 32, a career-high 404 yards passing, a career-high 5 touchdowns, all of his scoring passes in the first half. Clemson's 671 yards and 73 points were the most allowed by Georgia Tech in the modern era, which means since they started counting. Unbelievable. Trevor Lawrence, was that fun?
It's a lot of fun when the team plays like that, obviously, offensively and defensively. But just really proud of the guys. And, you know, came out ready, obviously. Huge game last week. All the hype. Took care of business. And coming into this week, you know, there wasn't any drop-off. We still performed. We played really well. We prepared well, too.
The Fighting Damon Amendolaras of Syracuse get to play Clemson next week down in South Carolina. Here's my prediction. It is already 27-3. It's terrible. Clemson is just burying people. Roadkill. So, this was supposed to be the matchup. This was going to be the game that showed you two national title contenders. This was the game where Georgia was finally going to step up and take care of business against Alabama. Right? Wrong. Here's the legendary Eli Gold from Learfield IMG College.
Mack gives the signal. Devontae goes in motion behind him. Mack looks right. Pressure's coming. He'll throw long. Waddle's got it behind the defense. Leaves the DB on the ground. There you go. You ask, you get. 90 yards. Tyson Campbell wondering what happened to Jaylen Waddle. Has he left him behind for the touchdown?
And Georgia fans wondering what happened in the second half when you led at halftime. How about pitching a shutout? Crimson Tide comes back, beats the Dogs 41-24. Georgia could not cover Jaylen Waddle or Devonta Smith. Smith, 11 for 167 and two touchdowns. Waddle, 161 yards, six catches and a touchdown. Najee Harris, they couldn't control him either. Like a hot knife through butter. Ran for 152 yards on 31 carries with a touchdown. It's unbelievable. Georgia coming into the game had allowed 38 yards rushing and 12 points per game. In other words, they hadn't played anybody. Kirby Smart had some comments afterwards. He said, yeah, we did some good things.
Is there things we got to work on? Absolutely. Is there things we got better at in this game? Absolutely. We just played a really good football team, right? And we didn't play our best game, and we turned it over three times. I thought we did some good things in special teams. I thought Jake Camardo was a weapon, and we got to get better. I realize that, and that's on me, and that's my responsibility, and that's what we're going to do going forward.
Unbelievable. Stetson Bennett, 18 of 40, 269, two touchdowns, but three interceptions. Not good enough. You're not beating Alabama right now as you're set up. The Tide has won the last six meetings with Georgia, a 3-0 record of Saban versus Kirby Smart. Saban now 22-0 against his former assistants. So, Nick Saban, are you pleased?
The norm now is disruption. It's the norm. It's going to happen. And we knew that when we went into the season, and I'm really, really pleased with the way the players managed, you know, the disruption of this week.
Yeah, they handled the disruption, and then the disruption carried right over into the game. That second half was dominant. 41-24, and it wasn't that close. It wasn't that close. Notre Dame taking on Louisville, the number four team in the country, right? Notre Dame. Oh, my gosh. Again, this game set back college football. Terrible. There aren't four good teams right now. We haven't seen Ohio State yet. They might be the third. Here is Mike Tirico from NBC Sports.
Hicks got five in the paddy. Nothing open. Brooks scrambles. He's coming with him. Brooks going to take it. Can he get to the five? Nice. Lower the shoulder. Reach for the pylon. And in for the touchdown. What a run by Ian Book. And the Irish are back on top.
That was right before the third quarter ended. Notre Dame put up 12 on Louisville. Unbelievable. They win 12-7. The Irish won their 22nd straight game at Notre Dame Stadium. Ian Book, 11-19, 106. Not good. Brian Kelly, you think you have a clutch quarterback, though, don't you?
When it's time to make plays, he made huge third down conversions on this last drive. So when the game's on the line, you can count on Ian Book to come up and make big plays for us. And that's a good feeling to have.
Okay, and clean conscience. And I do have a clean conscience. I can't give you more than one more game. And what I have to give it to you is because this team, because nobody else is playing, was considered a top five team in the country. And that's North Carolina. But then they played Florida State, who's atrocious. So that's pretty good for them to put an easy... Oh, no. An easy win? No. That wasn't happening. That didn't happen. Here is Gene Deckerhoff from Learfield IMG College.
From the Tar Heel 12-yard line, clock ticking, 27 seconds left. Jordan Travis takes the snap, wants to throw, looks toward the end zone, flushed out of the pocket, blitzer coming, runs to his right, keeps his balance, throws across the ring. It's a called ball, touchdown official, touchdown Cameron McDonald, the Noles add seven before halftime. What a tremendous throw by Jordan Travis to an open tight end. It's 30-7.
Travis was 8 of 19 passing. He ran 16 times for 107 yards. Seminoles led 31-7 at halftime. And then they held on to win 31-28. The win was the Seminoles' first ever an AP top 25 team since BC in 2018, since they beat them. Unbelievable. Mike Norvell was very happy to get a, I guess a signature win at Florida State.
Stacked against, you know, all odds. There's not many people I don't think gave us a chance tonight. But they didn't worry about what other people thought of them. They didn't think about any of the limitations that they could be put out in front of them. They just went out and played their game.
Oh, coach, stop it. Now the odds were stacked against us. Nobody believed in us. Stop it. For gosh sakes, you're Florida State. You're Florida State. Oh, nobody believed we could beat North Carolina. Coach, if you're going to that in your fifth game at Florida State, you're running out of things to go to your bag of tricks for to explain how bad things have been. Get it straightened out. Speaking of that, I'm sorry, it's a shortened version of the fallout. Deservedly so. We'll try again next week when Ohio State plays. Maybe we can add a third team in. Maybe we just do three teams next week because things are terrible. There you go. Here's the fallout. Great job by Tony Pierno. He does it every single week at Tony Pierno on Twitter. You can follow him. Or if you find him on Bumble, he's got his stinger out. So if you're lucky enough, ladies, find Tony Pierno on there. You can check him on out. A gentleman from San Francisco sends me a note. And I very much appreciate it when people are getting in touch. And Francisco. And Francisco gives me a note and he says, boy, I loved what your analogy earlier about the Dak Prescott injury. And it seems to me the coverage of the Dak Prescott injury. I expected to hear Elton John playing Candle in the Wind and see the dignitaries pouring in. When Jimmy Garoppolo went down a couple years ago for the San Francisco 49ers, when Carson Wentz went down, when Aaron Rodgers went down a few years ago, they didn't get coverage like this. Oh my gosh. I expected to see Elton John at a piano and like people all dressed in black on all the morning shows. Unbelievable. Here's the clue. Dallas sucked before Dak's injury. Dallas was an atrocious clown show defensively before Dak's injury. You know that I respect Dak Prescott, but give me a freaking break. Why the coverage of this? We've seen top-notch quarterbacks go down before, and they didn't get coverage like this. Like, people in mourning. Oh my gosh, give me a break. Give me a break.
Always serve football with a side of strong opinion. Now back to the JK Show on CBS Sports Radio.
As I said to you earlier on in the show, the coverage this week from the national sports media about the injury to Dak Prescott, I thought everybody was going to be wearing like veils and shrouds. There says it was like a funeral going on. When I've seen high-profile quarterbacks get injured all the time and never get that kind of love. I realize that it's the Cowboys. And I realize this, when I'm interested in learning something on social media, and very rarely do I learn anything, Brian Baldinger is one of the places where I can go from the NFL Network. He's an NFL analyst. You check him out on Fox Sports, too. And he is constantly sharing his wealth of knowledge and love of the game. So he shares a lot of that right on his social media. So you just follow along. You can link to it and check it out. And he was kind enough to get in with us early this morning. I knew you'd be up, so it's not even a question that you'd be available, right, Brian?
Not at all, John. Especially you, buddy. We go back a long way. So I'm actually in South Florida right now, John. I'm doing this Jets-Miami game here today. So, if you're in South Florida, you got to get up with the sun, which was, about an hour ago. So
I've seen some of those videos of you down there. Are you, when I see those videos, are you on like down near Las Olas in Fort Lauderdale?
Yeah, I'm a little bit north of Las Olas, just on A1A here.
There used to be a hotel there called the Bahia Cabana that had the top of the dock patio bar.
I think it's still there, John.
No, they tore it down. There. No, I think they tore it down. They'd like destroy. It's all gone now. But that bar, my old Pennsylvania license plates used to hang in it. I said that was where I used to go there every year because the people who ran the place back in the 70s and 80s were from Philly.
Right.
So they were Philly people.
They've got a couple bars like that down here. I mean, there's a big Eagle bar here everybody gets together at. You know, they'll be watching the birds today as they try to, you know, lick
try to
the
do what?
Here.
Try to do
I don't
what?
Know. I mean, I think they're going to go there with, you know, with the junior varsity offensive line out there against the Baltimore Ravens. So, I don't know. Maybe Travis Fulgham will, you know, just resurrect Carson Wentz's career here today.
Brian, when I ask you about the NFC East and just an overview, is it possible that we're overstating how legitimately bad all of those teams are in very, very different ways?
No, you can't overstate it. I mean, there's just, you know, there's nothing about any team from the Cowboys, the Eagles, I mean, all the way down that looks like they can play four quarters of quality football. I mean, that none of them have done it yet, and we're 5 weeks through the season. And none of them give you any – well, I mean, Giants and Redskins will play today. Maybe somebody will win the game. But you don't get the feeling that anybody could stack wins together at any point during the season. Now, you know, all this stuff can always change. But you don't get the feeling that any of the four teams could stack, let's say, three wins together, which, you know, might get them to, you know, seven wins. I mean, it just might not happen.
My worst prediction of the 2020 season, and boy, I've got a little laundry list already, was that I absolutely didn't believe that the Green Bay Packers could follow up last year's 13-3 with another great season. And they look better to me. They look more complete than they were last year.
They are. Because the quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, is playing out of his mind good. But not just, I mean, anybody can read statistics. But, you know, they haven't fumbled the ball yet. And they haven't thrown an interception. The only team in the league that hasn't turned it over. So that's one thing. Which is remarkable when you look at some teams that just can't seem to hang on to it. But they haven't turned it over yet. And then Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur's second season here. I mean, you can just tell that he's completely bought in. I mean, he is the maestro, and he runs it. And so if Davante Adams isn't in the lineup, all right, it'll go to Aaron Jones or Alan Lazard. And if Davante Adams and Alan Lazard is out, he'll find Robert Tonyan. I mean, every week it's been somebody different, but the decision making that he makes now, almost every single play is absolutely flawless. I mean, it's all on him to get them into the right play, out of a bad play, direct the play. I mean, he's just been flawless offensively, and then defensively. I just think that a guy like Za'Darius Smith he's going to lead the league in sacks, whether it's this year or next year. I mean, he's just that good. And so they have playmakers on the other side of the ball. So if you're not turning it over, and your defense has given it back to you a few times every once in a while, and they're playing pretty solid. I mean, they're going to have another really good season.
Brian, I know over the years I've watched some of your film study on the San Francisco offense that was being run when the Falcons made their run to the Super Bowl with Kyle Shanahan under Dan Quinn. And it's fascinating because there's a lot of moving parts to it, and it's different than what a lot of teams do. But now we see Kyle Shanahan in a matter of what? 8 months go from being like the darling of the NFL to now being the butt of people's jokes. What's happened with San Fran?
Well, I mean, first of all, they're I mean, really injured. I mean, they didn't have a receiver that was healthy throughout training camp. You know, the quarterback has a high ankle sprain. He's trying to play through it. I'm not making excuses for him. I mean, you know, they were playing their sixth cornerback last week against Miami, and the Dolphins went right after him in the first play. And then, you know, they benched him finally halfway through the second quarter. But that being said, the offense line has not played anything like they played a year ago. No, I mean, not anything like. And you thought they might be better with Trent Williams at left tackle, and they haven't. I mean, just from a an assignment standpoint, they look really confused a couple times last week. And Miami could do that. They do a lot of odd things. But, I mean, they haven't played well up front. They haven't run the ball like they have in the past. The quarterback has not been efficient, no matter which one is in there. They played all three. But I do think, you know, when they get Richard Sherman back, they get some of these guys back, they're going to be better. But there's just no replacing Nick Bosa. He changed the whole culture defensively last year with just the way that he practiced, the way that he played, and how good he was. And they've definitely taken a step back without Nick Bosa, and I don't think they'll ever look like a defense that they did a year ago.
Brian Baldinger, you will be sharing insights with you all the time on social media and the NFL Network and Fox Sports, and he's got the Miami games, too, to be able to now be able to have like sort of a home game for him, and he joins us here on the John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio. Oh, did you see anything in Kansas City losing a game that gives you reason for any kind of long-term concern?
Yeah. Yeah, because it's been going on all year, John. I mean, I was there. I did Kansas City and the Chargers game out at SoFi Stadium the second week of the season.
Sure.
And they sleptwalked it. The Chiefs sleptwalked through the first half of that game. That was Justin Herbert's first start. They jumped on top of them. You know, they had to go to overtime to win the game. It took 2 58-yard field goals to win that game. They weren't good. I was in Kansas City last week when the Raiders completely shut them down except for one drive in the second half. They really adjusted their defense on third downs. Patrick Mahomes was 0 for 5 on third downs in the second half. They couldn't stay on the field. He threw his first interception. He has not played great this year. I know the stats say that I'm crazy, but there's long stretches where they're really unproductive. It was a 6-3 halftime game against the New England Patriots a couple weeks ago, John. I mean, they really haven't played four quarters of football yet. Four really good quarters like we're used to seeing. And I think that's one of the reasons they went out and got Le'Veon Bell this week.
Yeah, and that's one of those moves where you look at the amount of teams right now, like the Jets, starting to do a house cleaning. Obviously, Dan Quinn gets fired this week. Do you believe there are going to be organizations that are strategically racing to try to get that number one pick? Maybe take the wheels off this thing so they guarantee they get a chance to get Trevor Lawrence?
Well, they might try to do that. But a lot of those teams that look like they're in a position to do that, I mean, whether it's the New York Giants, right? I mean, whoever it is.
Right.
I mean, they've got their quarterback, I mean, presumably. But Trevor Lawrence may make the Jets think about Sam Darnold, I guess. I don't know that any of these teams are going to try to tank. I mean, we saw the Falcons last year. You saw them, John. They were 1-7 at the halfway point. You know, and he got blown out by Seattle, and they have a bye week, and Arthur Blank is, you know, he's flummoxed about what to do, and they stay the course, and, you know, probably was the bad decision back then. I mean, they were 6-2, but was it a mirage? But, you know, I don't know. These teams are going to try to win, and maybe, you know, look, the Colts, they got Andrew Luck. It was the right deal. However it happened, you know, these guys don't come along very often. I sure would like to work with Trevor Lawrence if I was a franchise. And I'd try to do what Buffalo did with Josh Allen and build around him the way they are. I mean, that's really the best method right now if you want to get out of your own way right now and get back into competition is to get that guy and build around him.
Who is the team that has been most hurt by COVID and the disruption and the disruption of COVID?
Well, I mean, it's hard to say right now. I mean, you could say Tennessee, but they're 4-0.
Right.
You know, and they play great football. I mean, the facility was shut down. They went, 16, 17 days without playing. The facility was completely shut down, and they really played well against an undefeated and really talented and very good Buffalo Bill team. They didn't have any problem with them at all. So, I mean, they're sort of the blueprint right now for what you can do amidst all the disruption that has happened and will probably continue to happen.
I got told a story by a Philadelphia media member that twice you've been approached that they know about as far as coaching in the NFL, becoming a position coach. Is that true? And do you lead too cushy of an existence to ever even consider something like that?
John,
is that true?
No, John, listen. I'm looking at I'm outside my church right here. I'm going to be diving in about an hour and 20 minutes.
Yes.
So I'm going to dive this wreck today. We have a 4 o'clock kick. So
right.
I mean, I'm going to get in there for an hour and a half. Now, if I was a position coach in the NFL, John, I certainly wouldn't be diving. And I don't want to give that dive up this morning for anything. So,
but it is true you've been approached, though, to coach.
Well, I mean, people talk to me, John. But
oh, okay.
I coached in Italy. That was my version of coaching. You know, I enjoyed drinking drop in espresso before practice every day with the
players. I know you did. Baldy, love you, and thank you so much for making time for me this morning.
You got it, John. Anytime, buddy.
Here's Brian Baldinger joining us here on the Jack and Cage on CBS Sports Radio. What kind of a kind man is he? I would see him when he was doing the Falcons preseason games. And he lived close to my mom. And he said to me, "You ever need me to check in on your mom or something? I can do it for you." He's that kind of guy. He is a really, really good person and great breakdowns. Baldy's breakdowns are about as good as it gets. And appreciate him joining us. It's weird that the team that has been most affected by COVID is unbeaten. It's sort of like the Marlins. The organization that was most affected in Major League Baseball by COVID managed to make the National League Divisional Series. Now, they didn't show up when they got there, but what can you say? They managed to have an amazing season that nobody thought they'd have. It's strange. It seems as if the people who are supposed to be affected negatively the most are actually somehow managing to overcome that and be affected positively. Mainly because of the fact that none of them have ended up having any serious repercussions or ramifications from COVID. Maybe we're learning something about it. All right, well, coming up, I'll have my college football playoff four. Or will I? Plus, the race to being horrible? I can't take my eyes off it. It's halftime. Hydrate, stretch, and be back. It's the John Kincaid Show, CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.